It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, Miss Nina Simone. Give me my gin. We got a number of things we're going to be talking about today, and just get some recordings going on here. So, many things to talk about. We're going to continue the discussion on the dairy with some new things that found out, and also many of the documents that we've recovered, and to be able to go through those documents and see what is happening, and quite interesting. And I also note this morning I see in the Star Advertiser there's the question, who needs the EPA? And there's some good questions in there. Who really needs the EPA? And it's sort of a bittersweet occasion. The EPA should be put on the block and reviewed in its policies and practices, but it's a little tainted because it's under the Trump administration, so a little caution, but it's not that Trump is all bad. I understand he wants to take away and strip it because the allegations are is that he wants to benefit his friends and other businesses, make it clear the path. But what we need to do is own up to the EPA is dysfunctional. The EPA is fat. It has lots of money. it allow states to adopt its policies and the laws and the enforcement authority, and so you get that kind of a game being played. And they just don't stand up to the plate. I noticed, and we'll talk about it in the second hour, there was a mention in this article about Marty Townsend wrote it, and an environmentalist, and in there it talks about Red Hill. Well, if the EPA was doing its job, as it knew about the tanks, it had declared the tar pits or the burning pits up there in that vicinity that was associated with that function in the tanks, and declared it a national priority list site. But as soon as it broke public in this recent occasion, it was as if it was something they discovered recently. So I'm half in and half out. I believe that the EPA is more fat, more waste. It shields state governments. It encourages and allows and emboldens violators, because sandwiched in between, we have one or two agents here, but we have a massive military function and industrial and agriculture and all of that. And so when you look at the wastewater and the city being able to sit down and design consent decrees, as we just saw recently with Ala Moana, again, the Ala Moana spill, not the Alawai spill. But all of these things have a commonality. They all end up in a what you call a consent decree. And if you look at them, you would think either the EPA is really a bad agency, I mean bad in the worst sense, or they're conspiring with the state and the city, because you have massive spills, and all that in this recent one was $100,000 and something to the effect that, and they all take on the same tone, that you'll have to buy trucks to run your wastewater treatment plant, and you must put SCADA in, and when in fact SCADA is already in the system. So EPA is basically aiding and abetting to see our environment degraded. Now, yes, they give grants, and they have a few people there, but from my experience, you have coal-powered fire plants here in Honolulu, and spewing ash, coal ash in the storage, and the state is dragging its feet. And when has the state done a complete clean air violation investigation? So, again, Trump is basically, many of us have learned not to trust many of the things that he say. But I believe that, and I've begged for this kind of occasion to bring the EPA and put it on trial, in a sense, and understand its effectiveness and how technical it is and how unfriendly to the common person or the lay person when they want to research their website and whatever. You have to have a degree, a PhD in most of this stuff to understand it, or pay someone or rely on the state to enforce what they haven't enforced. So we're always like little piglets waiting for the feed time when it comes to these issues, while the EPA should be working better and more effectively with the public, rather than partnering up with the agencies and then have a secret powwow. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Good morning, brother.
Yeah, good morning.
Long time no talk to you.
Yeah.
The EPA, if it was really a functional, you know, department, we would have a lot of stuff that's going on that's killing the environment, stuff would be taken away. So from the beginning, it's never really worked.
Right.
In some places it's worked because it's obvious that the things need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can't fix everything all at one time. So it's just another agency that is bloated and, you know, wasteful and doesn't really do his job. I'm giving Trump no credit for anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what? You know what I mean? You know, he has all these golf courses and all these other things that use tons of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he ain't going to back off on that stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, don't touch my golf course.
And
that's what it's probably. He's got ulterior motives. Everything he does is, you know, you can read it for, on the paper, but it ain't really true.
But
the guy is, you know, a bunch of BS as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
So that's just my comment on the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
And they do
go ahead.
A certain amount of good. I don't know if it's 20% or 15%, but they, you know, just like you say, Red Hill, they ain't done nothing to that thing. You know what I mean? They haven't solved the problem up there.
Well, let's take this for example, and we've talked about it on this show, the Kapaʻa landfill. It's a closed landfill. The city, county of Honolulu, failed to put a gas capturing system. They're talking about, in this article, talked about what EPA does for the clean air. So here was the solution to that. The city failed to put, as it was required, a system to catch gas and channel it away, right? Manage it rather than
letting it off. Or what is the policy on the gas that's coming out of these landfills?
Well, you have to put a system in, a gas capturing system, we'll call it, and the city failed to do that for 13 years. So what was the solution? The EPA, with its cozy relationship with the state and the city, and they all operate under this idea. Well, if we take it from the city, it's just taken from the taxpayer's purse. If we take it from the state, it's from the taxpayer's purse. So we should just let them pollute, or we'll come up with a deal. So follow this.
They're trying to save us money and kill us at the same time.
But see, they're not saving money, they know that.
That's your premise, though. We're going to save money by just, you know,
no.
Put it in the air. Oh, it disappears. You won't see it.
No. The city just failed to violate the law by failing to put in that system in the landfill as required.
Oh, from the beginning, then. They were supposed to at the beginning when they built the thing.
So then what happens? The EPA solution was to create a consent decree and say to the city, you must do something environmentally sound that complements good environmental management, and you must open up build a solar voltaic building at Campbell Industrial Park to support the energy that's used at the H-Power. You following this? So spend 16...
They're going to make another system to take care of the system that's not good.
Right. And then under this roof that they were going to do, the city then proposes to process white goods, washers, dryers, refrigerators, and many of those air conditioners and washers and dryers contain freon. We'll call it freons or ozone-depleting gas, right? So where is the EPA in that? So, you know, I don't want people to think that, well, I'm all against the EPA. No, I'm just saying to you that don't buy this big lie that they're not that, and let's not miss the opportunity. If we can put aside Trump's weaknesses and illnesses and whatever fallacies and deal with the specifics, because it's at our doorstep. So here we are, a building that is now proposed to house the processing of white goods and what have you. That was the original proposal, and who knows what we file a complaint against that. So all of the foams now, not just the gases in the refrigerators, but the foams that are found in the washers, dishwashers, washers and dryers and all of that appliances, that too is solvents, right?
Yeah.
So there was supposed to be a program managing that. Where is that? And the EPA touted it out, and they have these great introductions with great...
But how could they sidestep their own standards?
Who's watching? They're the imperialists. They're the environmentalists, environmental imperialists. I mean, ask yourself, how do we wake up in the morning and the next day there's a brown water report, or the state just refusing for years to even post signs that say polluted water due to fecal coliform or enterococcus, right?
Yeah.
So, and wetlands and all of that. You look at the number of buildings and people, we're left to our own accords here. So our own defenses. So this effort, I just think when I read this article and I thought, you know, we're not telling the whole truth. Red Hill, for example, the EPA had set up a program through the state, underground storage tanks. What is Red Hill? An underground storage tank, right? They had miles and miles of documents that the state was receiving from the Navy. The Navy reporting what had contaminated the water, what had leaked. We talked about that, spelled it out here. And the state health department sitting on their duff, boxes under in the basement or under the gentleman's desk, and all of a sudden, now there's a big story about it, right?
In other words, they've never enforced any of the regulations.
Yeah. And you know, the Clean Air Branch, if you think I'm telling fallacies, tall tales, just go to the Clean Air Branch in the state and ask them, what do you enforce? Do you enforce refrigerators and all of that, and then the ozone-depleting gases? Do you have any cases on that? They'll have to tell you no, but it's a clean air issue. And
the whole thing about the EPA, it started out on a good premise, but, the bureaucracy just makes it, cut corners, pay off, who knows what, but it surely is not, performing its, duties.
I've had these sentiments before Donald Trump knew he was Donald Trump. With the EPA, first of all. And secondly, I'm saying let's not dismiss all of this. And I know it's kind of hard to look at Trump and say, what good do you have in you at this moment? When you're on an investigation, you take, for example, just for a moment, Ke Aloha, right?
The chief
of police. No, he's not just a cop. He was the chief of police. We can't take
that. Yeah, I know, but I mean, he's a head cop.
Right,
a cop.
Right. But he worked for it. And nonetheless, he ain't, But anyway, here's what happened. Now, everyone called for his resignation, right, because he was, quote, under investigation by the FBI, right? Isn't that right?
Now,
Donald Trump.
Exactly what his charges are.
Well, no, we don't have to. Let's, on face value, just up front, take notice that he has been asked, or some suggested he resign because he's under investigation by the FBI, period. Okay. Now, the FBI is investigating the President of the United States, a declaration that has been made public, right?
Right.
And what's the difference?
But not this other one.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a payoff to let him get out from under what was going to happen to him, maybe.
Yeah, and I offer that for us local folk here to say, hey, I call BS on you a long time ago and say that it's bigotry at its worst form because you have double standards, triple standards, and you have rules that you quickly cite when it comes to people of color and what have you, demean them. But when it comes to people such as Ke Aloha and then Donald Trump, we're squirming around and trying to figure out technically what this is. Hey, I think he should be out of the White House and he notified he's under investigation, right? The
right.
Threat to our country, but no. So anyway, that's similar to the problems. I just believe that I don't want to say that demonize Donald Trump to the point where we are blinded and not see that the EPA is not the most proficient, not the most efficient.
I understand that completely because a lot of these problems would have been solved because they had the authority to solve them, and they just either pay off or they tit for tat or who knows what they do. But there's a lot of pollution still going on. It's only obvious, and
yeah.
They haven't cracked a whip on these guys.
Now, I read a document here. I think it was John Glenn, Senator John Glenn, asked for a study of the quantifying all of the impacts by the EPA, impacts by the military at Pearl Harbor, for example, and some of the other facilities, and ask EPA. EPA refused because the military complained and raised a little stink about it, so the EPA backed off. So really, we have underground plumes that have spilled at Pearl Harbor, for example, have not been identified or quantified. And, if EPA was doing its job, we'd have a different, a cleaner environment. Believe you me.
The whole thing is every military base has a dump on its site, right?
Yeah.
And they've dumped everything in them things, you know. I'm familiar with one over there on Kaneo Marine Base. It's on the edge. It's way out on that the rock that sticks way out in the ocean over there. And it's, they just like blasted away the blue rock and made a hole, and they're just dumping all the stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right next to the ocean.
Yeah.
Right next to the ocean. So tidal wave comes, to wash all that stuff right into the ocean. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, the military is just, you know, it's no seal. You can't do too much about it. You know what I mean? So they hide everything they do.
But that is where the EPA is supposed to be the guy.
I know. They're supposed to be walking around and checking these guys, you know, at least every 6 months or something and see, well, you know, what they're up to.
Or prosecuting them.
That's the best thing to do, because then they won't do it again. But they don't prosecute. They just keep on rolling along. Hey, nobody's stopping us. We're just going to do what we want to do on these bases, government says.
And this situation, it's one. We petitioned years back the EPA to reject and deny the state the right to enforce the clean water, clean air.
Yeah.
And
they get an exemption because they're military, yeah?
Well, no, I mean as far as a state. And so what is happening? So the EPA authorizes a state to enforce this, right? But if you look at the military's opinion of the state's involvement on military lands, that they declare, and for example, Ed Case wrote a letter that I read about Why Kelly Caves, where he said that the military was a sovereign entity, so therefore the state had no rights to. And so that's been the general consensus, and the state operates. They talk a big story, but the reality is they treat it, too, as they don't really have authority on the bases.
Yeah, but how do they construct a thing, sovereignty, you know, entity, when it's not their land, it's the people's land.
But again, who's the referee? The EPA. So the EPA knows the Clean Water Act, knows it's a federal mandate, it's federal statutes. So why does it sit back and let little brother, the state health department, and other agencies struggle with this and be told, no, you don't have authority on this base? Yet the EPA says we've vested in you the authority to enforce the Clean Water, Clean Air Act.
Would you agree that the EPA needs to be overhauled and needs to be looked into and needs to cut their budget, you know, all the fat and all the waste, and then maybe be, you know, a functioning agency for the American public? But I don't think Trump is going to make it any better.
Oh, no. But don't have people, if you're the EPA, stand up and own up to your shortcomings. And on up to your bad dealings and your liberal ways of eccentric and esoterical ways, but when in reality you fail the people, you fail the environment. In my opinion, I daily come across issues where the EPA should be on top of it, and they're not receptive to complaints. You get caught up in the quagmire of going back and forth, and I'm telling you,
such a big responsibility, and if they do a half-assed job, it's like the worst thing for the populace. You know what I mean?
So they gave money to the state to fund certain positions to inspect and do to enforce clean air, clean water, USTs,
bribery.
Or whatever, right? No. This is their way of standing up and saying, we got control over this. But in reality, there's no control, because then the state takes the money and diverts the money to other sources and other resources.
That bribes the state from really coming down on them. Well, we'll give you money to do something else, but you're not going to solve the problem.
No. We give you money to specifically enforce these issues. Let's be clear about that. And the state then pockets the money, or hire its friends, or divert the money to the high five, or to support some other project that was not intended for that, but the EPA sits back on its thumbs, do nothing about it. And so recently the state had to own up to it had accepted money from the EPA, but couldn't account for the positions. But they couldn't.
Well, where's
the money?
Isn't it?
Well, no, I don't know what you would call it, but
I'll pay you this money, and you're supposed to use it for this, and then you're going to nullify what you want to try to do to the EPA. Isn't that
Right.
Kind of what they did.
And then if you want to see it that way, but again, this is resources, much needed resources, being handed off to the state or other entities that really does not follow through. You know, the dairy on the Big Island.
Somebody's dropping the ball. You know, they're bouncing the money around and they're supposed to be doing something and they're not really fulfilling their promise.
You know, let's admit, Donald Trump is a Dennis Rodman of politics. Okay? he's a different kind of a guy, but let's not miss the opportunity, and I don't think we should completely do away with EPA. If we do, replace it.
No, it has a purpose. In the beginning, it was spelled out to really solve some problems, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. But they need to be gutted and revamped and revisited.
Oh, definitely.
And
most
now,
of the agencies that we got running in the United States need to be overhauled totally.
How many?
You know what I mean?
How many states
is going to do the overhaul correctly or for the public?
50 states, right?
Definitely, you'll have friends that you know make something out of this. I mean, you know, it's a bargain. He's a bargainer. You know what I mean? Well, I'll give you this, and you're going to have to give me that.
This waste and this neglect that we are talking about here in the state is multiplied some 50 times. Or plus, because you have Guam and other territories, right, and other military bases in foreign countries. So the EPA, we need to say to the EPA, not on the terms of Donald Trump, but let's not miss the opportunity. And I've been begging for this occasion to have a talk, but I'm just saddened to see that people not owning up to the shortcomings, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's picking off easy pickings. You can see the EPA is so almost non-functional. You know what I mean? You know, anybody can do that. Look at it. Well, is our environment really clean? Are they doing the statutes of the EPA to the fulfillment of them? I don't think so.
You call the EPA today, and they'll look at you like you have a stick in your forehead. But if you call them up and say, I'm with this organization, environmental group, and and we're trying to think, you know,
soon as they hang up the phone, you're forgotten.
No, they court them, man. It's like a guy with a new girlfriend. He buy all the candy and roses that she could want. But the reality is, that's that relationship. That's what I'm speaking of, the shortcomings in the EPA. And nobody is willing to own up to that in the environmental community because they're fearful that they won't get any grants. You understand?
Yeah.
And I don't need anybody's money to stand there and tell the truth and say, you know, look, you've allowed the state of Hawaii to adopt the rules and enforcement, and you authorize them to enforce these rules. So why is it that we always see consent decrees? With Larry Lau, he was one of the heads of the health department at one time, and we saw, I call it an infestation of this new creative sentencing. And in that you look at them and you say, well, you take, for example, Wahiawa Reservoir, right?
Oh, don't even mention that, please. I go there all the time.
And you remember remember the hyacinth that grew and then the duckweed?
Oh, they had two.
Right?
The molesta, the hyacinth, they had a couple of plants.
Right,
molesta.
So the first one now, and it's laughable, the EPA, I mean, we're talking about Clean Water Act and all. Why is it Clean Water Act? Because at Wahiawa, they dumped sewage from the sewage treatment plant into the reservoir, right?
Right.
So the high nutrients in the water did what? Enriched the environment and complemented the growth.
Yeah, that stuff grows like crazy. It's like, you know, a criminal in a bank or something.
Right.
You know,
they're
just sort of,
the thing is,
if you feed the stuff, it's going to, you know, multiply by 10 times more.
So the city was then found responsible for wasting this water and Clean Water Act and all of that. And so some of the conditions of the punishment were you have to buy a boat and donate it to DLNR so that they could do and then buy a machine that would go through and help you gather up the molesta. Well, that all failed, and the tires on that.
Fulfill that thing, and eventually I think they sprayed Roundup on in place.
Well, I'm just telling you, and once again, this is the EPA. I can best describe it, and I will take them to task. If any of them out there, anybody think they've got a friend in EPA, I dare you to ask them to come forward and challenge me on these statements. And that is, they got lots of money, lots of power, and zero care for the things in totality. They don't connect the dots. It's about managing politically. It's about the liberal strike down their back that this is what way we're going to handle it, and our resources and our environment is suffering.
But we've kind of known that for a while. You know, I don't think Trump is going to solve that, because whatever he puts in, the bureaucracy is going to creep back into that agency, and it'll be just like it was.
Now, Trump, if you think he had problem with Obamacare, and the reason I'm broaching the subject is to seize the opportunity, because the reality is, across the country, these states rely on, they talk a lot of talk, but they rely on these monies, man, for their state agencies so they can hire their sons and daughters. You understand?
They got empty holes where this money fills right in there. You know what I mean?
And I mean, you take, for example, the solid waste management. These are EPA-mandated practices. The landfill, right? Have you seen the city get penalized or punished or criminalized for any of this when, in fact, when all the medical waste went into the ocean? I mean, they fine the guy, the manager there, right? But what about the city employees that have repeatedly managed this thing into the ground? And even today, they're just making a new bill or proposal to allow them to use ash.
Yeah, they're just partners in crime because that's their job.
Right. Well, they're going to allow ash from the H-Power to be used as daily cover. Okay? Now, nickel, lead, cadmium, and all those constituents and metal concerns is in that ash. And where's the EPA? You want to talk about them enforcing the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. You understand. So Donald Trump is not too far off base when he says, I want to fix it or get rid of it.
He's picking the easy apples on the tree, man.
Brother.
Look just today. What did he sign some order I got to get this through and get everybody off this defeat that I just had. He's a slimeball, as far as I'm concerned.
He met his match. He met his match with the Obamacare. And if he touched the EPA,
that was the biggest thing he ever bid on.
Trust me, man. There's so much money in the bag from each state is punching the hole in the bag with the EPA.
Yeah, right.
And EPA is a cover for, it's just a facade to cover for state politics and political people that want to do. Trump isn't demonizing them. I'm just telling you the real truth. The EPA serves as nothing more than a window dressing and the politics.
Like I said, he's kicking the easy apples on the tree because that's so blatant what they have been doing. Because look at our environment. It's not really anything.
We're saving a lot of it, right? I mean, we're doing a really good job, right? I mean, things are more worse than ever, right?
Like I say, all them golf courses that he owns, they spray them things with any kind of chemical there is. It stays around forever, you know what I mean? So he's part of the problem himself.
Yeah, well, I I'm not looking to discuss him per se. But I'm just saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that it's a bad deal, step back and learn something about the EPA. Yeah. It is bloated, fat.
I know that they've never really done their job, or the environment would look a lot better than what it is now. And, that's just the way to look at it. You know, the agency, almost all of our agencies has holes in it. You know what I mean?
There's
always something that you can fix on them. And there's just so many of them that have so many holes. It's pretty damn hard to clean this thing up that we've got going in America.
So you take, for example, Red Hill. Now, we started off with those 20-some tanks up there that was leaking, not leaking, blah, 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 right? And then all of a sudden, our local government, gets involved and, oh, we're going to fix it. Well, where the hell were you when it was breaking? Well, okay, yeah. It was a big secret. So here we go now. To fix it, they then lump all of the, not all of the underground storage tanks, but tanks at Pohakaloa and other places and make it one big ball of wax, right?
Yeah.
And now you got to get...
The good ones with the bad ones.
You got to get money to fix them all before you fix one, because you're budgeting for everything in a sense, right? You see the pitfalls there, and the EPA sits back and goes, well, that looks all right, and we are, the EPA is enforcing it. I retrieved documents where the EPA had knowledge and declared that the oil pits, the burning pits right up there in Halaba that was associated with the tanks were burn and was leaking, and they were dumping it into the Halaba stream intentionally, running out to Pearl Harbor. And where's the EPA? Oh, they weren't saying anything when this recent thing hit the fan with the tanks at
Red Hill. Totally stayed out of it, you mean?
Well,
they were brought off then.
Oh, no, they came over and they sent their hot-headed dogs over here, you know, and we're talking that fancy talk, but the reality is the oil was still seeping. Or wasn't seeping. Or the contaminants were in the water, but they weren't. We're sampling them, you know, and that kind of stuff. So here we are as laymen going, what the hell is going on here, you know? So that's where we are, my friend, with this.
That's a disaster that is never going to be solved until the tanks are moved or replaced totally or just gotten rid of. You know what I mean?
Let's say you have an entity, a county entity, a state entity, and let's say one of those entities want to build a rail, a train, right? And let's say that if we were to hold our feet to the fire, the proposing body that wants to build this rail, know that there's hundreds and hundreds of environmental pitfalls, right? And so what do you do? You go to the state, and then you have your state legislators and your senators to contact the EPA and then put pressure on them. Put pressure on them, and then you allow the city that builds a rail to go out and collect. There's contamination in Never Beach at a site. Okay, well, we'll just scoop that up, and then we'll take it over to the stadium and drop it there and hold it there. And then there's other contaminants. Oh, we'll put them on, and then we'll deal with the environmental issues later. Because we got to get the train. Where's the EPA at? Right?
Yeah.
So it's not all about...
The back burner, the EPA should have never let happen in the beginning.
Right. It's not all about Donald Trump and golf courses. It's about fat cats who playing into the...
Oh, yeah. That's just part of it. You know, but the golf courses, hey, they make a lot of pollution, you know.
Oh, God,
but That's just a drop in the bucket compared to all the smoke coming out of these smokestacks and all the sewage treatments that they have. You know, we're dumping them... into our streams and the ocean, you know, it's this one big circle of BS, and you know, and the public takes it in the rear.
And with the number of spills that we have here in Honolulu, sewage spills, you would think the EPA would chime in and say, well, you know, look, you could do what the hell you want to do. You can build as many buildings, but if you have another spill and you're taxing an already antiquated, corroded pipeline for sewage, a system that is dysfunctional, can't even take a heavy downpour, then we're going to prosecute you. You can do what you want. We can't tell you not to build buildings and build high-rises, but looking at the dilapidated conditions that your sewer is in and the carrying capacity, if you have these spills, then we're going to prosecute you. But instead, they give it to the state. The EPA sits back at Starbucks and with their iPads, and they operate that fashion. And the state goes out and covers up for the city. And then we had a statement from the city going, well, we think little old ladies and old men and 80-year-old people pulling the manhole cover and letting us sewage, the flood water, the storm water run down the drain, that's what caused the flood. Right? Oh,
yeah.
It's only 100,000 gallons. Now, okay, well, this one is 500,000 gallons. Where's the EPA in that?
Well, the state is, you know, in cahoots because they're proposing these buildings and these other things that they know that their infrastructure has no possibility of, you know, controlling,
exactly.
you know, handling it.
Yeah.
So it's a round robin. You know, these guys, it's all profit driven. Let's just realize that.
And
somebody's making money, and they don't care what they do to make it.
And that brings me to this point, why I believe that Donald Trump might be cutting his nose off in spite of his face, because his business friends will be impacted if we were to go back to the basic function of the EPA. And that is, you see, whenever there's a project need to be done, the fat cats in this town hire their friends, get the contract to fix to lay the pipes or to do all of these things. So it's not just Donald Trump. And see, it's some of those people want EPA to be there watching the front door. And then they have control over the EPA people through our federal legislators. You understand?
Yeah, I understand that part. But I have all the belief that Donald Trump, if he gets control of the EPA and runs it the way he likes it to run it, his friends are going to get out from under everything that there is. You know, he's not a man for the people. You know what I mean? He's not a guy that goes down there in the trenches and goes, oh, do you need help? Nah. He would never do that. He wouldn't release himself to do that kind of stuff.
Well, but
egotistical, one way, my way, or I'm going to pound you down into the ground into dust.
But you will agree that, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and talk about Donald Trump. What I'm saying to you, I agree with you, but also let's call it what it is. These conditions in the climate that exist in the EPA lends itself to more cover-up and got nothing to do with Donald Trump.
That's kind of, you know, between me and you, it's obvious, but the outside people don't understand. They do everything for a reason.
Right, well, that's why we're talking about it, so they can become educated, too, rather than focusing on how bad Donald Trump's hair looked. And you know, if
I don't care about it. It's probably a wig anyway.
I don't know, you know, but there's more to it than that. And so what I'm getting at is that, do you think if you saw how the Democrats and they all fought with
all
Obama,
in the same boat. It doesn't matter if it's Trump or even Obama, man, because he could have done more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these guys that are in power could do more if they put their ass on the line.
Yeah. And but they're not, because the EPA gets appointed. They get an appointed person, and then in turn you have the divisions and the branches, and you got all these. I mean, fancy people, man. They can sit there and hold an iPhone and use it, and an iPad at the same time, and drink a latte, it all in one stroke. These are the type
and
of people
doing something for the public.
Oh, hell yeah. And then you call up and go, well, you know, you're going to have to call the state. But, this is Congressman.
I've been through them guys, man, because my stream has been polluted by people, and I went through everything. And they get, especially the health department, that's another thing here. This state is so corrupt, it just blows my mind.
Health department,
you know what I mean?
Right?
Because I've made a lot of complaints about people polluting my stream. Nah, nothing done, nothing, not a single iota anything, not a finger lift to stop it.
Well, anyway, I hope people grasp this, and they're looking at this article, and it's not an affront or attack on Marty. It's just to say that from a different perspective, you know, I want to protect the environment, but we need to do something. This EPA is a farce.
If it wasn't a farce, a lot of problems would have been solved years ago.
Yeah.
If it was a real agency that enforced its laws, man, we'd have a getting close to pristine environments. But,
right.
Agency hasn't fulfilled the duties.
You hand off the authority to people like the state or the city to enforce, and they never had any intention, and then they become policemen.
That doesn't work. The EPA was the guy that's supposed to lower the hammer,
right.
Not the state, because the state just goes along with everything to go along.
The dilution of the pollution. And that's what EPA has failed us all, trust me. I can tell you that. Just look at the number of people they have assigned here.
We'll see if this Trump is just handing off the ball to somebody else. But, you know, you saying give him a chance. Well,
I didn't say that.
I don't want to give him anything.
Hold on.
If he does something to the EPA and makes it better, I'll give him three cheers.
Hold on.
A piece of crap.
Hold on 1 second. Let's make sure you go away with accuracy. I didn't say give him any kind of chance. I'm just saying that speaking to the EPA and the current status, I think Donald Trump should be in jail about right now or exclude. No, no,
well,
I mean,
I
he's under investigation.
My
friend, he's under investigation by the FBI.
Because remember, he grabbed girls, on that bus when he grabbed the girls, vaginas and stuff.
No,
I got three daughters, man. If somebody grabbed my daughter's private parts, hey, most guys would go, father would come and, that's killing words,
Yeah, well, I don't know about all that. I'm trying to stick with the EPA and not the SEX.
When you go back to the source that's trying to fix the problem, he's the problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
but
he's
going to get his chance. We're going to see, okay, sir?
Yeah, well, there...
Let's just hope for the best. Keep our fingers crossed. And it's for the betterment of all of it.
Already.
That agency is, shuffled around and made, to do something that's for the people.
Well, all right. Well, I'm going to play something, part of a meeting from last 2 weeks ago in the dairy on the Big Island. And so we're going to be talking about that. We shifted around. Thanks for calling. And
I'm all ears.
All righty. Okay.
And talk to you later, bro. Have a good one.
And also, it'll work out.
All right. Well, like you say, time moves on with and without us.
Exactly. Thank you for reminding us of that.
Yeah, right. Okay, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, you be careful.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Hello.
I'm listening.
All right. This is Brad Duff from the Hawaii Dairy.
Everybody in the rooms basically made their opinion that more or less the case. Sounds like I see a lot of head shaking. I mean, everybody's basically said the dairy's bad news. Dairy's bad news. I mean, there's not much that I can say anything to change minds or what we've done. I mean that's what I'm saying is all of the news that comes from here is everybody's. I guess what I'm trying to find out is, so let me clarify, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to find out whose opinion's already made, who wants to know my side, and listen to what I'm saying. And I'm not being negative. Val's exactly right. I'm a positive person. Okay, so as long as we're okay. So there's a lot of questions that were asked that I'll try to address. There's so many topics that were covered in that time frame. So since the last meeting that we've had, we had all the diversions were gone through and cleaned out. There was a question, did the dairy change those diversions from the plantation days? As far as I know, those are the same diversions that run through the dairy. Okay? As far as I know, I've been here now 3 years. I can't speak for the dairy that owned the property when they first put in the old Ocala dairy. I can't, Island Dairy, I believe is what it was called. I can't say that those weren't changed. But as far as what we've had, we have not changed those diversions from the plantation days. Okay? Those diversions are the same diversions that need to be cleaned out and maintained, which led to the issue of the flooding the last time. The water that came through breached those diversions and went like a cascade down the hill, obviously going through each one. Okay, since this meeting, all of those diversions have been repaired and cleaned out. We've had rainfall since then. We monitor, kudos to the county for cleaning all the culverts. We've come down to watch and make sure that those culverts, there isn't excessive flow coming there, because I believe last time we talked about the culverts are designed to catch minimal water, roadway water, and any that comes off of the embankment. Excess. There you go. So looks to me, just in the last 6 months, that's worked. Those diversions are working the way they're supposed to work. The grass burn that has been planted in there, it actually is 30 acres. Someone hit the point. It is a strip that comes across that whole bottom area. Now, the planted part is the 30 acres, but there is also the grass buffer of the slope that goes into the fields. And then most of those spots, they hit the diversion that's up above it, too. So there's an additional grass area that comes in there. So you actually have a diversion, and then those whole fields are all planted. So it, there is 30 acres that's planted, that whole bottom. That is still growing. If you haven't noticed, the grass in there is about 8 inches tall. We're anticipating guinea grass, the way it grows, will come and start seeding itself in over the next, who knows, hopefully this summer. And then you'll start to see large bundles of guinea grass coming through. We'll continue to mow it so it makes it a good catchment. And that was the entire goal, was to, as we talked in the meeting, to set up a way that we could put people's minds at ease that that runoff, the mud that comes from those fields, the topsoil, doesn't leave the property. Now, I will tell you, water will still come, obviously. You see that happen. It goes. But as far as on the Malka side of the road, I believe we've done our part as far as cleaning out all the diversions and maintaining those waterways that we can. Looking across the road on the lower side, the county has done a great job cleaning out those culverts. We observed them cleaning out each individual culvert. In some spots, man, it took them about 2 weeks to clean out the culverts. They've been that way, and I imagine it was just a lot of time build up as far as material in those culverts to get them out. There was a question about a culvert that had been replaced that was crushed. I did some fact-finding. We did, in fact, replace that culvert with the exact same size that came out of there. It was a 3-foot culvert that went under there. It's a 3-foot culvert that's in there right now. We actually went and reinforced the front sides with concrete, but the opening is still 3 feet. So it was designed for that the exact same way the plant. The one thing that we've also implemented is there is no farming actually on the upside of that diversion. Okay, so previously we would farm to the diversion and stop. Now there's actually a grass buffer on the top side of that diversion, which does not get sprayed, which does not get tilled or anything like that. But there will be the occasional cleanouts that happen, and you'll strip away the vegetation if there's top. We actually went through there and put that all the way through, because actually on the plan or previous, that did not have a diversion going all the way through. It stopped about 3/4 of the field. We actually went and put it all the way to the gulch on the backside. Yep. Yeah, and that was one thing that we noticed, that, hey, there's a diversion in place, but it actually doesn't go crossing the whole field.
The other thing that we have a problem is that hay road going up to the mountain, it's a gutter of water.
You're exactly right. And there's big.
Going back to the 30 acres that you talked about, what I see up there now is a strip that appears to be like, I don't know, 20 foot wide along the highway. I don't see, I'm not clear at all on what you're talking about. That's 30 acres.
So if, yeah, I mean, it's.
All I see is like a 20 foot section along the highway of being grass. That's the only berm that I'm seeing right now.
Okay, so I guess. I don't know how to show it any clearer. I mean, there's a big, it's a whole field.
So the whole entire field right now has been cleared out, and then planting corn, and now you're saying you're not going to be growing corn on.
So right, we're not, and that was the idea that came up from the last meeting, that we thought, okay, we'll take out, and it's not the easiest decision to do. I'll tell you that. The best corn ground is obviously closer to the ocean. Everything grows better closer to the ocean. So I know it sounds mute, but it's a sacrifice of good, fertile farm ground to grow for grass. And I'm hoping that grass grows just as well as the corn did, so we can actually make something out of it. As far as the runoff goes, I think we've caught that point. The plan with the NRCS is what we're working on right now. It takes time, as obviously, to change our farming practices into what the NRCS recommends. And they've been great to work with. I mean, Kanoi's, she's been great. And that'll take time to get to that point. we submit, okay, this is what we're going to do as far as cleaning diversions, all of that. And then the planning practices need to be changed.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
Too complicated. See, zero didn't satisfy me. A million didn't make me happy. That's when I learned the lesson that it's all about your perceptions. Hey, are you a papa or a superstar? So you act, so you feel, so you are. It ain't about the size of your car. It's about the size of the faith in your heart. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope.
Off in the back country of Brazil, I met a young brother that made me feel that I could accomplish anything. You see, just like me, he wanted to sing. He had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor. On top of all of that, he had no eyesight. But that didn't keep him from seeing the light. He said, us are like in the USA. And all I did was complain. He said, living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope.
Every time I turn on the TV,
there's hope.
Somebody's acting crazy,
there's hope.
You let it, it'll drive you crazy,
there's hope.
But I'm taking back my power today,
there's hope.
Gas prices, they just keep on rising,
there's hope.
Keep on life. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause there's hope.
It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're getting back on track here, and I was playing Mr. Brad Duff, the general manager or manager for the Hawaii Dairy on the Big Island. And so we're going to continue this about another 5 minutes, and I'm playing this for several reasons, and this plays right into and speaks to the concerns that I have with the EPA, and I'll hopefully demonstrate to you why, even though we'll call it BT, before Trump, the climate that exists with the EPA and our affairs, how we regulate and the environmental policies and laws here in the state of Hawaii. Just speaking to Hawaii now, there are other places we can talk about, but I want to give you a sense of balance, and it's, while it's an extreme measure when he say he wants to take, I'm concerned with air pollution and what have you, but I'm saying to you, listen up. the EPA is not all that and then some bag of chips. It has some great, great problems, and we need to fix it or get rid of it, because it's a means of legal way of squandering our natural resources by boundaries, by borders, by state borders, or what have you. So it's not consistent. What we can say is that it's consistently flawed. So I'm going to go back to the general manager, and we'll talk later.
Slopes, we decide, okay, those slopes, we put them back into grass. You don't farm it. There's a bunch of issues like that. So that's where I would say if there's something that still is in the progress, is that plan, to get the plan in place. And we're committed to use the plan and to follow the plan. Just so in meetings like this, when if something does happen, a natural disaster, people can say, okay, they're at least following the plan that was there.
Do you have some funds or insurance that could help the people that are being hurt right now?
Well, see, I guess I'm not a... I can't answer that one for you. I can't answer that. So when there's a... I mean, and you're going to have to take this up with someone else that knows all of that. I guess it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't know. You're asking someone that doesn't have those answers.
I have one more question. You know that Airport North, there is a lot of cattle there. And that runoff, you could just run off into the streams. Is that still going on?
Well, the airstrip is still there. There's a few animals in there, but it's not as it used to be. If you noticed on the dairy, we actually moved all of that operation to the upside.
But I remember the cattle there, the runoff was just down to the
street. I can't confirm that. I can't say that's, because I believe that's actually a catchment area. But I know right now, no, it's not in use. Some of the other things that we have done to continue, just so people understand what we have been done. There was someone that brought up the point that the cane days, they harvested in sections. They planted in sections, things like that. So we've adopted that same standard. Okay, so if you watch our farms, there's a different growth points on the corn. Okay, so if you go all the way to the top, you see the corn's 4 or 5 inches tall. But if you look down here on the bottom, that stuff's, a foot and a half tall already. So as it was harvested, taken off, planted, moved to the next section, waited, harvested, planted, moved to the next section. So that is a practice that we had changed. I don't know who brought that question up, but that is something that we did take care of. Like I said, I understand, there's a lot of animosity when you deal with things that affect your home life. I understand that. Okay? And I'm not a person that I'm not a robot. I have a family of my own. I care about the environment also. Okay? I care about people. I care about how you feel. I care about what you think of me. I care about what you think of the dairy. Okay? My main goal is to try to make that dairy work, but I've got all these pieces I've got to make happy too. And I understand there's a smell, and I understand everybody, I mean, that's the elephant in the room that everybody... Speculation on my part is, whenever we get a change of weather patterns, cold air brings down that smell. That's my speculation. So we do apply manure onto those fields.
When it cools all down, then the smell is gagging.
And this is the point that, as you form your committee, I have no problem, discussing some of those practices with them. I mean, as you had that committee, but there's work on the source that we feel is the smell.
Since you were manager too, we talked about windbreak and planting trees to windbreak that smell. What have you done so far with that?
I don't know where the windbreak came from as far as on the airstrip. I believe that was planted for that to try to block that wind. I'm not sold on it. I mean, obviously, there's still a smell, obviously. Okay? So I would love to say there's a silver bullet.
So Kauai to this, exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, they said they promised, the first owner promised that there would be no smell. No smell whatsoever.
There is smell. It smells. So all of our system is set up for catchment of water, catchment of effluent. That's manure with urine, all of that. That's if you've seen our dairy, it's a freestall barn set up. So all of our animals, well, I shouldn't say all of them, the milking animals are in those freestalls. Those freestalls are designed to catch all of their manure. So what those barns are set up, they're set up with a scraper. That scraper comes through and it actually scrapes the manure to a collection point in the middle of the barn where it gets brought down to a collection pit. So actually, if you see where our animals are housed, it's fairly clean. That collection pit is where we pull out the solids, with the composter, the lady that was talking about composting, similar process. We extrude all of the water out of it, and the solids get left behind, and then it gets composted, heated up, as she was referring to. It's about 150 degrees, kills your bacteria in it, and then that's actually what we bed the animals in. So the whole process is for us, we're trying to collect all as much waste as we can to try to keep for bedding for those animals. So after that step, the water comes off, and we do have catchment or containment ponds that are on site. They're on the far side of the property, obviously. They're set up so they can irrigate the crops, and that's how you disseminate that liquid back out. Okay, so every time that people say, well, you're just flushing your manure down the streams and whatnot, It's not what we want. It's against, number one, environmentally, the responsibility that we have, as well as our functionality of the dairy. We need to collect as much of that manure as we can to pull out those solids and then turn them back into the bedding for the animals. So that's the question that as these complaints come up, we have every department under the rainbow that comes and looks.
I'm showing him the picture of that pond. And if you look here, there's like some kind of ditch that was dug out in that water. So I don't know if you want to explain that portion.
Sure. So as you can see, well, you can't see, but in this photo, this is your catchment pond. You do have an emergency spillway there that has been put in case of a massive rain event. Okay. Because the goal is, obviously, as everybody understands, nobody wants this to come down this way.
And then from here, where does it travel? It travels downhill and into some gulches. So the question is, it's been happening.
Rain and stuff, so it did overflow.
No, this is not actually. You can see the embankment right here. Okay. And this is the part when every inspector comes, they come and check these parts. Because obviously that would be the spot, if there was any of our effluent getting off property, those would be the spots that they would go to.
This is an older picture, so this is not the current. But you did have overflow on those ponds, correct, on the heavy rain? No. So the manure that's coming in the streams, you're saying is not your manure?
I didn't actually, no. I'm just telling you that it does not come from those points.
Okay.
No. And that would be the question that everybody's wondering. Okay? Because all of our system is designed to hold all of that. Okay? So, well, they actually are, because every agency that's come and looked at them has verified that the levels are low. There is no There's no waste coming out of those.
And you say it doesn't leak the pond? Did you ever walk without by the pond?
Does the pond leak? I would say we need that because the pond doesn't leak. I mean, that's the assumption that everybody's seen.
So is it lying? Okay, so because the ground, that thing will go right through, you have it lined.
That pond is lined. You're correct. There is one, it's an overgrown pond that's up above.
And that one is not lined.
That one I can't confirm or deny. I mean, I don't know. I don't know because that one has been in service.
Okay. So is there any way that somebody can find out if that's a lined pond or not and if you can line it? Or, you know, because if you're saying you're not knowing, then we need to find out. Again, Brad, like you said earlier, we're going to form a committee. So I'm hoping that you will also be working with that committee so that we can be on property as well with you to make sure.
So I can give you an answer to that question. The lagoon that is up, it's actually up above the bigger lagoon. And so if it were leaking, it would leak into the other lagoon. I mean, if you see the way manure settles, guess what I'm relying on is the help of people. Suggestions like this is great. I mean, that points us obviously, okay, there's major concerns in the community. What can we do to mitigate those? If it takes, you know, talking, obviously working with government agencies that are provided to help farmers, that's the process that we take. You know, I can't tell you what the future is going to hold as far as weather events, things like that. That particular event, it was a flash flood. Okay, flash floods obviously are becoming more and more predominant. Same answer would apply. I couldn't answer that.
You're going to go find out if it's lying or not, and then if it's not lying, you need to tell us that you're going to line it. That's what you're supposed to be telling us.
Just so everyone's clear, I'm not a liar. I don't think I've lied to anybody here in the past, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to tell you I plan on doing it in the future. So to answer your concern, you know, I'm not going to tell you something that you want to hear. So I guess what I'm telling you, the upper lagoon that's there, so there is the two lagoons, that was designed with the first dairy that was built here back in the late 90s. That's the one I'm not sure about. I can tell you the lagoon that we've constructed, it is lined. I would have to tell you I don't know the material off the top of it. They do not overflow. Now, could they ever? You bet. I mean, there's always things that could happen. And I
couldn't have overflowed already.
No. I mean, no. Well, let me. Good. Could, I mean, you've seen, well, and she said, there's no guarantees. Oh, in the gulches. That is a hazard. But can I answer? Can I say why? Don't ever go in the gulches. Number one, because you don't know what's going to happen there. I can guarantee you the population of pigs that we have, you have populations of pigs in there. You have risk for flash floods. Now, you guys can laugh at me and do what you want. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't go in.
Would your company be willing to, would you go to your company and ask them if they'd be willing to reduce the number of cows to make it more manageable, to make our community safe? Is that something that's, if we just reduced it to a certain number? I don't know what that number is.
And I can't tell you if that's the answer or not. I really can't. I can't tell you if it's.
Okay, thank you and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show Live. If you listen to that, that was Mr. Brad Duff, the manager for the Big Island Dairy. Now, I don't expect you to remember all the details of what he said, but what is happening here, you heard a discussion about a liner. And you go away with the impression that he does not know much and he might be new to the scene or what have you. But in our efforts to try and understand what was going on, in March 4th, 2013, Now, you heard him talk about the liner and what have you. Now, there was a letter was written by Sina Pruder, the acting chief of the state wastewater branch. And the subject was Big Island Dairy Comprehensive Nutrient Management Plan. So you heard him talk about spraying the manure and wanting to spray 100% but not have any runoff the property. Well, that isn't just something that he wishes to do. This is a comprehensive management plan, and contained in there, and the state had received this, and basically the Department of Health acknowledges receipt of an undated comprehensive nutrient management plan. And the additional information provided via email on January 30th, 2013, for the Big Island Dairy. The department has reviewed the submittals for its conformance to applicable provisions of the Hawaii Administrative Rules. The following are the department's comments and recommendations that must be satisfactorily addressed before we can concur with the proposed Now, the CNMP, now, imagine the way he speaks so loosely as if things are still in motion. This letter is dated 2013, and these are conditions that he should have been put in place back then. So the basis for the design needs to be submitted for the sizing of the lagoon, compost stack, and settling basins. Two, for the proposed lagoon design, no berms were provided to prevent runoff from entering ponds during rain events. The lagoon liner is a geosynthetic clay liner, is not impermeable at the depth of listed 11.5 at 2,000 gallons per day, acre day will pass through the liner. Please explain why an impermeable liner is not being used for the lagoon design. On page 10, only 60% of the waste of for the close-up group is being collected. Please explain why 60% is used and not 100%. So even though he say he wants to capture 100%, this document says that he had declared that he was only 60%. Again, waste speaking. Manure and the... That's this letter, and I obtained this letter and a couple others from the wastewater management branch, trying to answer questions but there's something even greater of a concern. That was 2013. There's some substantial conditions that must have been met and were recommended, and they committed to those, and the state said, well, you have this amount of time to do this. And so we asked the state for any inspections and a couple other things, and they wrote me back, per your request for government records, the attached wastewater branch records are provided to you in two email batches for the Big Island Dairy. Our office did not draft any complaint, inspection reports, or issue any violation notices to Big Island Dairy. As discussed, the Clean Water Branch may have records, which I understand you received a copy from them. And I did, and the sad part about it is, what I did get from the Clean Water Branch was a couple of reports, a Hawaii Health Department complaint and alternate inspection report. On 6/30/2014, the inspector was there, Neil Mukai. On 6/30/2014, I received a call about a smelly brown water flowing down a stream in Ōkala. Later that afternoon, I went to investigate the complaint. The stream in question had a steady flow of very turbid brown water that was about 2 feet wide and about 0.5 feet deep and smelled like cow manure. I then tried to pinpoint the source and followed the flowing of the stream, which led up toward the highway. When I got up to the highway, there was what looked like a massive sprinkler system spraying brown water over a pasture area above the highway and below the Big Island Dairy. Since it looked like a part of the dairy operation and up to a private road, I went back to the office to gather more information from the different state branches on what the dairy was allowed to do. The following day, 7-1-2014, I spoke with Sanitation Branch, the Wastewater Branch, and the Enforcement Section of the Clean Water Branch, which all issue permits to the Big Island Dairy for different areas of their operation. After consulting with the different branches, we decided to go out to investigate our branch's areas of concerns regarding this complaint. This included Amy Cook from the Wastewater Branch, but the Wastewater Branch said they didn't do any inspections or didn't do any reports. So this was in 2014. So my next question is, where are the reports? They didn't disclose them to me. But then he goes on to say, when we got to the stream's flow was considerably reduced, although there was still a slow, steady flow of 1 foot wide and 2 to 3 inches deep, of very turbid brown water with a strong manure odor continuing to flow downstream. We then followed the stream back up to the highway and onto the Big Island Dairy property. The massive sprinkler system wasn't in operation, but was still in the pasture area from the day before. We got to the Big Island Dairy property, stream's path went through some thick vegetation alongside of the road going toward the dairy. We followed the road up to the dairy and first intersecting dirt road where there was a bridge crossing over the stream. At that point, we stopped to look at the stream and then the stream was totally dry. So the sprinkler was sitting down below. So they've determined that the sprinkler was emitting this water and contributing to, was a source of this, this foul water. Now, that was on that day. So on 6:30, he observed it, the water in the gulch. 7:01, he observed it. And then he goes on to say 7:02, the next day, he observed it. And they took the, on this inspection in 2014. Now, these are clear violations. Clear that this water was coming from there, and the inspector identified it. Well, what happened? Where did the state prosecute? Where did the state? They already had a CNMP that they submitted, and there were conditions, and they were supposed to get back to the state and follow that plan. And one of the things that really grabs me about this process and speaks to how negligent and willful the state agencies are in this process, when there's big money or politics or some special interest, then they get the kid glove. And when it comes to enforcement and regulatory authority and efforts, so there's another thing that comes into play here, that, and this is a letter from February 27th 2017, and I'm jumping around, but this is what we call, and it's from Stuart Yamada, Alec Wong, writing back to Stephen Whitesides, one of the owners of the dairy, who is identified in DCCA as an owner. The Department of Health Clean Water Branch is providing enclosed report associated with the December 14, 2016 inspection of the Big Island Dairy Facility located at Ocala. As you are aware, the DOH conducted this inspection to determine the nature of your facility, whether your facility unlawfully discharges pollutants to state waters, and whether the facility is subject to regulations under the Hawaii Pollution Laws and Federal Clean Water Act. Based on the findings from the inspection, the DOH has concluded that the Big Island facility qualifies as an EPA-defined large concentrated animal feeding operation, or CAFO, parenthesis, 700 or more mature dairy cows. As a large CAFO, Big Island Dairy is subject to Clean Water Act National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit regulations if the CAFO discharges water into the states of the United States, into the waters of the U.S., or in Hawaii, to those state waters. No definitive evidence that Big Island Dairy has discharged wastewater from its lagoon system was observed during the inspection. However, please note that the inspectors observed high potential for lagoon system to discharge when the lagoon system impoundment capacity is exceeded in if Big Island Dairy discharges wastewater from the lagoons without coverage by the NPDES permit, discharges will be considered unlawful and a violation of state and federal water pollution regulations. So the question is, go back 2 years, the inspector was there, Neil Mukai was there and saw it for 3 days, this material, this water in the stream. And no citations were issued. So the wastewater branch had a CNMP in their hands that they were supposed to monitor and approve. And they were asking for clarification. So how is it that he don't know, he being Brad represents that he kind of loose with his answers. We really couldn't pin him down, for, in my opinion, the way he was responding to the questions. But the documents speak specifically to what they were supposed to do. He know what he was supposed to do. He knows that he's supposed to keep records. He knows that he's supposed to report things. And about the application method of liquid wastewater manure, this is what he's sprinkling. And they addressed this in 2013. Now, they being the state, wanted to know, get some clarification. Application, an irrigation plan for land application of the water wastewater from the lagoon shall be submitted. So, once again, there's another point where Mr. Brad Duff would have known these answers or should have known these answers, because in 2013 they asked him specifics. And he, if they were to pursue it in a timely fashion, then he would be able to tell the public what it is that's going on up there and how he's treating it. He says an irrigation plan for the lands must be submitted. Gross irrigation needs should be based on evaporation rate. Application rates should not exceed the daily irrigation times. Wastewater applications shall not exceed the infiltration rate of the soils. When determining the application rates for the wastewater, the following factors should be considered. A, application shall not exceed the soil's infiltration or water holding capacity. So if in fact it is coming from the sprinkler system, does that mean that these elements are being exceeded or conditions are being exceeded or ignored? Or he's because if the filtration, that means if you're dumping water on it, it should percolate. And once the pores and micropores are filled, it'll just be surface runoff. Is that causing that? The rate should be based on crop rooting depth, and rates should be adjusted to avoid runoff, a loss to surface tile drains. Record keeping. Records must be maintained for at least 5 years to document implementation of the technical standards and implementation of the maintenance. So he's still saying, now the NRCS, or Natural Resource Soil Conservation Council, they're working on something now. He mentioned a young lady. They had something, but then, and I don't know specifically what it was, they say, well, they had some kind of plan, but now they're working on a new one. And he says they're really great to work with. But those people have no, they're not bound by any recommendation that the NRCS makes. So going back then, if Mukai in 2014 document this water in the stream, and we know that they had excess of 700 cows when they started, they increased the number back in 2013 or some one of those dates, then it would have, it qualified as a CAFO, and USDA qualified it as a CAFO. So why didn't the higher ups in DOH issue citation or penalize the dairy? It was clear. But instead, nothing happened per se on the state's part. It was buried in the files, and they had covered that up. It was a cover-up, complete cover-up. But you couldn't get past the stench, because the reality is the people were complaining in 2013, 2014. That response was a complaint in 2014 by Mukai. He went and documented, but the fancy, quick-speaking newcomers, the young gladiators there, led by Alec Wong and what have you. And by the way, I've tried now for about 2 years to contact Alec Wong. He's out of the office or in a meeting, and he never calls back. So we have to approach it this way. Go read the documents and come on the show and convey what we see the documents say and speak to. Now, in this report, this 2016 report conducted by Matt Curano, who I'm told is instrumental in guiding Mukai, even providing information and telling him, when you go to this meeting on the 14th, don't answer any questions. And you'll see that in our second video that's coming, where Mukai says, well, I'll have to go back and talk to the authorities. I can't answer that. So why send Mukai if he's not able to answer, if you told him not to answer? So Curano went to this meeting, and the inspectors, Anthony D'Angelo, a U.S. EPA contractor now, PG Environmental is the company, and Matthew Curano, Enforcement Section, Department of Health. They went there. And their findings, now, it's already been established in 2014 there were problems. And the people are complaining about the smell. So where's Clean Air Branch? Clean Air Branch was there in 2014. Where's their report? Where's their fines? EPA contractor was there. And yet the people are complaining. We said last week, cows, the mortality pit, where they put dead cows and just laying there in the water running and they're mixing the water, they should be buried. But what if those animals have E. coli in them or other bacteria and flies and whatever, and you're sucking that water, or if possible, or the potential of it being sucked up and sprayed, what are you doing? You're aerosoling the bacteria, which is right down the hill and up the hill is residents. And not to mention the impacts on the people that work there. So I'm going to get to this. This is rather discouraging when you read it. And these are supposed to be people highly educated, being paid to be enforcers. But for some reason, something creeps into their heads that, or in their ways of doing things, that they must protect someone or exempt someone from the negative impacts that they may cause and project on the community or the environment. So, inspection findings. During the opening conference, the BID, Big Island Dairy representative, explained an incident that occurred at the facility in September 2016, in which a large rainstorm caused mud to slide down and recently plowed low elevation cropland and over Mama Lahore Highway. Or Highway 19. They stated that to prevent future slides from recently plowed croplands near the highway, BID was planning to plant vegetated buffer guinea grass along the downgraded northeast of the perimeter of the property. At the time of the inspection, the location of the proposed buffer was in corn crop production. The BID representative stated that if the plan to plant the buffer is finalized, it would be planted sometimes during the first quarter of 2017 after the corn is harvested. See, but in 2013, the state has already given them a guideline and said, well, this is what we need, and this thing is still in development some almost 4 years now. And he can't tell you how deep one of the ponds are, and there was a complaint. There was no measurement stick to monitor the depth of it. Don't know how much sediment is in the pond. Don't know how much totally it is holding water. So the following section describes overall findings that I identified during the inspection regarding the bid's potential status as a CAFO subject to NPDES. Now, folks, it's already clear that it's a CAFO. There's no doubt about that. It was determined that by quite a bit of information in the number of cows, and they knew that it was, they knew, the state knew in 2014. So why are they saying that it describes potential status as a CFO? It's already been stated. It is a CAFO. Based on the mature dairy cow animal unit threshold of, for CFO specified in 40 CFR, the facility meets the definition of a large CFO. It met that definition in 2013. It met that definition in 2014, 2015, 2016, and this moment. So this fancy writing is that we see being done here with the terms of evidence, not substantial evidence or potential impacts, you don't have to speak in those terms unless you got marching orders to cover something up. So based on the mature cows, the inspection BID representative stated that 1,226 mature milking cows, not including dry cows, and approximately 1,800 total cows were housed at the facility. Yet it says 700 is basically the number, the defining number. And here we got 1,800, and they're saying it has the potential of being a CAFO. It's as if our agencies are having to approach it in an apologetic fashion, that we're sorry we're disturbing you, we're here to do our job, but we're sorry, and come and walk with us and show us, oh, we want to see what you saw. This is the management. Well, the management should be on top of it anyway, because they already have conditions laid out by the state wastewater and also the ADC, the Agriculture Department, and they've agreed to CNMP, apparently. That's what the wastewater branch represented. So during the inspection, the bid representative confirmed that bid was registered as a 2,000-head CAFO and the USDA, with the USDA. How about that? They, the dairy, registered as a CAFO, and yet they are out there in apologetic fashion, reluctant to call it a CAFO, being the state. Now, I don't know if that points to cover up, political favors, political flavors, or because it's a state agency, the state owns the land, Scott Enright is pushing it, it's good for the economy, it's good for all of us, and so therefore one state agency greases the hand of the other state agency and covers the back door. I don't know, or cover the front door. But nonetheless, there are real impacts that are being presented here by this dairy, and they say they're addressing them. But the people are saying that they're being sickened by the smell, and their quality of life is diminishing, and their ability to go and forage in the gulch and use the water for agriculture or gathering of plants and what have you. And then they're told, oh, it's suggesting that you better be careful anyway because there are wild hogs in the gully, but not ever saying, well, there's water from our dairy. He didn't say it wasn't going in there from his dairy. He said the points that the public had raised and the sources, potential sources, he didn't agree with that, but he never said that it wasn't our water, if you note. So during the inspection, Carano writes, I observed the potential for facility to discharge pollutants at Kaohaoha Gulch and identified state water and waters of the U.S. as part of the facility tour. I inspected the new lower 2.5-gallon lagoon, including the southeast overflow spillway. Refer to photograph 26. While standing on the overflow spillway, which was saturated with and coated with an unstable muck and standing water, I estimated the freeboard underneath the lagoon's overflow spillway at approximately 12 inches. The lower lagoon was not equipped with a depth marker. How about that? So you're supposed to know how deep these lagoons are, and you know how much water they're held. But if you don't have a marker, a depth marker, how can you tell? This is conditions that were required in 2013. It's 2017. This report is done December 2016. Why are they able to operate so loosely? The lagoon and associated overflow spillway was constructed after the facility was purchased by the bid owners in 2012. Aerial imagery prior to 2012 does not show the lower lagoon. However, imagery dated between November 2013 and 2014 show the construction of the lagoon. The facility comprehensive nutrient management developed by the Natural Resources Conservation maintained on file at the DOH identifies this lagoon. However, the CNP drawings of the lagoon specified as a 7 million gallon capacity, which differs than the 2.5 million gallon volume capacity stated by the BID representative. Does not include detail regarding the overflow spillway, nor does the CMP identify a potential disposal method of lagoon wastewater as surface water discharge into the Ka'ohe Gulch. An overflow spillway. Additionally, information on the file at DOH associated with the NPDES permit for construction. Now, they have an NPDES permit for construction of the lower lagoon does not identify any overflow spillway for the lagoon, the lower lagoon. The exact as built drawings of the lower lagoon and overflow spillway were not reviewed as a component of the inspection. Man, how generous of the state in this situation. 2014, the inspector goes there. We know it's a CAFO. We are concerned with the NPDES concerns and runoff and managing that and prohibiting the runoff. We know it's a CAFO. We've known that for a while. There's no debate or discussion or contention. And yet they did not find them and the other violations or things that were out of place that they identified didn't address them. We can't find a letter where they wrote back and said in 2014, what did you do? So we came, we went, and we did, and we ignored. So the 2016, I don't know who the culprit is, but this sounds like such an apologetic approach to the enforcement of the resources, laws to protect the resources and the human health, and the EPA was there. You get it? Why would EPA be there spending money with the contractor if nobody is taking action and then the public is left to go to these community meetings and beg of answers when in fact, Carano has in his hand these documents that tell specifically what is seen, what is documented, what has transpired. Now, I'm not suggesting that Carano is a bad person, but someone in this chain of command has some reason to ignore the rules of the road, of the law, the federal law and the state laws, and take upon themselves to grant some protection to people that are around the dairy, associated with the dairy or something. There's something's wrong here. And the community around it is left to fend for itself and suffer and guess what is going on and how and who's going to fix it. So, during the inspection, I observe, he states, a four-bulk gasoline diesel above-ground storage tank, two at the lower freestall barn and two at the main maintenance building. Approximate size of the above-ground storage tanks, it appears that the facility had the potential to store greater than 1,320 gallons of fuel on site. As such, may be subject to spill prevention control and countermeasures. Well, you know, I reported to you last week, they had themselves a spill of 100 gallons of diesel. Isn't that funny? So there's something wrong here. I don't know what the answers are. There will be a meeting this Tuesday on the Big Island of Ocala. And hopefully that community can get some relief. It is just, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't know. But it's I can't explain to you what is going on when the state knew that there were violations. They responded to a complaint, there were violations, and they did nothing. And then I think it's unfair, too, to the owners of the dairy. I mean, if you're going to tell them what is required and how they should operate according to the law, and then you walk away and leave them, what's the message sent to them? So you leave them vulnerable to allegations and accusing them of wrongdoings. Or they have no real conditions per se because they haven't signed anything or you haven't approved anything. You told them to submit it and you review it and approve it. And then you leave the people out to themselves. And there was a debate when initially I spoke to someone in the States about the corn. It was that the mud flowed down from the farm, the dairy. And they know that because it was corn was in it. And the state person told me, oh, no, you don't know that to be the truth. How do you know that? That's just them talking. It could be somebody else's garden. They don't know what was growing in the garden. Well, out of that big debate, here it is right here in my hand. The state people that were arguing with me and denying it, taking me to task to prove it, have a report that says that there was a storm incident that flowed down and the corn was taken by the storm into the communities. So don't kill the messenger. Just do your job. And things would be all right. I guarantee you the people, I heard them say, they're not really worried about shutting it down, the dairy. They just want to be free of the smells and the impacts, the negative impacts, and the health risks associated with E. coli in the water and the air and bacteria and what have you. So hopefully that shines a little light on it, and we'll be covering this again. This is, again, one of those situations where an environmental justice, environmental racism, as Scott Enright pointed out, this community is composed of a number of ethnic minorities. Not my words, that's Mr. Enright's words in his petition to oppose a wood mill, a sawmill of sort there in that community. He was worried about the clean air and clean water and how much smoke would be in the air and polyvinyl chlorides and all of that. But he abandoned it, hopped off the horse when it came to the community smelling cow manure and all the other things and ammonia, nitrates, and bacteria. You go figure. And if you figure it out, please give me a call because my brain's working overtime. We'll see you next week. And this is the Carol Cox Show. Carol Cox at carolcox.com is the email. Or carolcox.com is the website. And you can play back the show in its totality. Take care. Thank you.
Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats will work with...